Hallelujah. You know, we'll try to finish up on Elijah today. There's so much. Maybe it isn't good to finish, but I suppose we have to finish up on Elijah sometime. But you know, let me just kind of summarize a little bit of where we've been with Elijah. Jesus made it clear, Elijah will come. Malachi said, Elijah will come. Elijah must come, I think is what Jesus said. And he's going to come with a ministry of restoration. He's going to restore. He's going to restore between the fathers and the children. There's going to be a restoration there. And the Elijah ministry that is coming is going to be an Elijah ministry in fullness. Amen. You know, the first Elijah was a natural ministry, Elijah, and yet very powerful. The second Elijah was a spiritual ministry, Elijah, and his name was John the Baptist. Jesus said, this is Elijah. And the final Elijah, I believe, is coming in type. I do intend to go back to 1 Kings again, but in type is the two witnesses company in Revelation chapter 11, and maybe I should just start with Revelation chapter 11 so that we can get a picture of what this future Elijah is going to be. Now, brethren, when I say this future Elijah, I do not mean to exclude us from being part of it. We can be part of this Elijah company. And you know, there's a price to be paid, brethren, if you want to be part of this Elijah company. What is the price to be paid? The price to be paid is your life. Brethren, we are going to have to overcome the besetting sin of our life. If you want to be part of that Elijah company, if you are not overcoming sin or the besetting sin or the soul or whatever it is, the possibility of your being in the outer court is very real, where you will be trampled underfoot. Somebody sent me a little YouTube clip, 10-minute YouTube of David Wilkerson, just pouring his heart out. I don't know whether he was preaching or what he was doing, telling that there are the signs are everywhere. There are terrible things coming upon the earth. Hallelujah. And there's only one place to turn, and that is to the Lord. Talking about how David turned to the Lord in the time of Ziklag, when they came into the camp where their families had been living in the camp, and the Amalekites had taken them all. Amen. But he turned to the Lord and encouraged himself in the Lord. And brethren, we are going to have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. No matter how dark and how terrible and how great the force of the enemy is, the heaviness. Amen. God is calling us to these many afflictions that Larry spoke of already. He is allowing these many afflictions for one purpose, that we will rise above it. Amen. They are not designed to grind us down into the pit of despair, but there is within us the spark of life of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that we will rise above these things. Amen. And I cannot rise you above it. I cannot save you. I cannot save your children. I cannot save my children. Amen. We must call upon the Lord that He will spark the thing by the Holy Spirit to cause them. Mom told me this is the way out. I remember the word. Amen. I will rise up and go and return to the Father's house. Hallelujah. So, yes, sister.
I was thinking of sharing this before, but since Mark's talking about it, we have been watching Moses.
And when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, Pharaoh put more upon the children of Israel. Right before their deliverance, it became more burden, more work, more this, more oppression. But it wasn't long and the deliverance came. Amen? So we got to keep that in sight. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
Deliverance is coming. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us get a picture in Revelation 11 of this end time Elijah. Amen. And I guess I'll just read a few verses and let the Spirit speak what He says of this. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. When God says to measure something, it means He's going to lay out a measurement, and a measurement is a judgment. Is the temple of God? Are the people of God measuring up? You've heard that term. Do you measure up? Amen. Even if you have a job in your employment, you get called in every now and then to be examined. Do you measure up? Are you fulfilling the requirements of your job? Amen. And so the temple is the people of God. The measurement is not something made out of stone and mortar and what have you over in Jerusalem, in the Mediterranean. That's not what God is measuring. That doesn't exist anymore. Amen? So, measure the temple of God and the altar, that's the golden altar, them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple, leave it out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, that's the world, it's going to be given over to the world. Brethren, there is a massive church business system that is going to be given over to the world to trample. Trample. Amen. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That's the same period of time that Elijah prophesied, and there came a great famine throughout the land. That was 42 months. That was 3.5 years. That was 3 years and 6 months. Whatever term you want to use. 1,000, what is it? 100 and how many days? 1,160 days, I believe it is. Yes. So, render it any way you want. It comes out on the calendar to be the same thing. Amen? So, there is a church that is going to be trampled underfoot by the world. And brethren, if you can see the signs, the New World Order, the government, including the government of our dear nation, amen, is setting in place the mechanism and the means and the will to do so, to begin to trample underfoot that church system of the outer court. Brethren, I don't need to go into detail, but it is being worked step by step. Amen. The freedom that we once had as a people is being quickly taken away from us by a deceptive spirit that is convincing people that this is the right way to go. And the funny thing is, about half the people in America are in agreement with it. And about half are not in agreement, are very disturbed and very distressed about it. And this is what we're hearing on the news. Well, I didn't come here to preach politics. Amen. It says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks that should be lampstands, brethren. Amen. There are no candlesticks in the Bible. There are no candles in the Bible. Everywhere you find it, cross it out. It doesn't belong there. They are lamps and they are lampstands. They run on oil. And oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't sit there like paraffin. It flows. Amen? Oil flows. Paraffin does not flow. Not at room temperature. Not where we live. Amen? The two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Now listen to this. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. That means it's a word that they're going to give. It's going to be the word of the Lord, and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power. These have power. That means, amen, that means they have authority. My, oh my, what would we do in our carnal flesh if we had that kind of authority? Before we had the good sense of the Spirit of God to know how to use it. Before we began to really follow the Spirit in all things. What would we do with all that authority? Haven't you heard people talk about the things they do with all that authority, brethren? My goodness, I wouldn't want to live here. It'd be worse than the present administration that we've got. You see, that's what happens when people get authority and they're not ready for it. They start doing what they want. And what they want isn't necessarily the best thing. It may not be at all what God wants. So, they will have authority, amen, to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. I'm wondering if the heaven is already being shut out in California. You hearing the news this morning? My goodness. Fires. Fires, fires, fires. You say, well, that's nothing new. I'll tell you, they don't stop. They're not stopping in California. It is dry. It is drought. And brethren, I have fears for my state of New York as well, because we're not any more righteous than California. Not a bit more. You know, I remember hearing a college professor at a worldly school. It was at Cornell. And he was talking about the things. I was studying healthcare, of course. We were talking administration. And this professor, he said, you know, everything that comes into America either comes in on the East Coast or the West Coast. And he said from there it spreads to the whole nation. Now, he was talking about trends. He wasn't necessarily talking about bad things. But I thought to myself as I was listening to him, and I didn't know kingdom things back in those days, but many times since then, his words have come back to me. Yes, these are the places it starts. And we're one of the places. Yep. Yep. Amen. They have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters. They have authority over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Doesn't that sound a lot like Moses? That part of it? But the part about the fire, doesn't that sound a lot like Elijah? Now, I don't expect, even though Jesus met with the, shall we say, the original Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is not going to be just those two that are going to be reincarnated. Amen? Brethren, we don't need reincarnation. These people are still alive with Christ. But, and God doesn't need to bring them back in the flesh in order to accomplish these things. Hallelujah. Amen. And when they will have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Well, I'm not going to get into that part of the word. We're going to talk about the early part of their prophecy. All right? So, this Elijah company is going to have the power over the natural elements of this earth. Amen. Over the water, over the heavens. Amen. Smiting the earth with all kinds of plagues as often as they will. Now you notice it says as often as they will. Why would God take the risk of giving such authority to a group of people according to their will? How would he dare to do that? The only way I can think that God would dare to take such a risk of giving so much authority is if their will is what?
Against.
Totally submitted to the will of God. Now, brethren, I am of the belief that this is the thing that God is working in us today. This is the thing that He is working in the tribulations and the afflictions that we are going through. Surely we have come to discover that there is no other way out. I cannot resolve my problem. I cannot resolve my situation. All the things that I have willed to do in the attempt to deliver my problem is not working. Have you discovered that? And the only thing that is working, amen, is calling upon the name of the Lord and inquiring of Him, what is the will of God in this matter? And when we get in the will of God, isn't it amazing what happens? Things begin to work out. And we begin to flow in good things. And our prayers begin to get answered in the will of God. But in my will, I'm not getting any prayers answered. In my authority, how many of you tried to take authority over things that that God wasn't giving you authority over? Have you tried that? It doesn't work, does it? No, it doesn't work. My goodness, you know, I've tried taking authority over the weather here this summer. I discovered I don't have authority over the weather. Now, I can pray about it, and I can inquire of the Lord about it, but I don't have authority to command anything to happen. I've tried authority over my garden that is a dismal failure. My authority isn't doing anything for it. I'm just being honest with you. You see, God is going to give this kind of authority to a people in the last days. And you know what? We're going to know when we've got it. And maybe that's why He allows us to test it every now and then. To see, do I have it or don't I? Do I have the will of God in my mind or don't I have the will of God? And I believe we're going to have the mind of Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? That we would have the mind of Christ? Yes, amen. Well, we're going to walk in the mind of Christ. Yes, we may have it, but we're not always exercising in it. Hallelujah. Well, here's the thing about Elijah now. We've talked about Elijah in the widow's house, and I want to kind of make a mental list here of the characteristics that we're going to find in the Elijah ministry of the last days. One of the things that I never mentioned was after all this widow living on the abundant... No. Close your mouth, brother. The provision. I almost said abundance. Well, it's abundance, I guess. But it didn't run dry. I don't think that barrel of meal filled up to the top. I just don't believe it did. But I believe there was meal there when they needed meal. I don't believe that the cruise of oil was running over, but I believe the oil was there when the oil was needed. Amen? So yes, we can call that abundance, can't we? Not superfluity, but abundance. Amen. In all that, tragedy comes. Do you remember the story? The woman's son dies. The woman's son dies. And she comes up to Elijah and she says, why have you come here? Have you come here to remind me of my sin? Let me read that verse if we can. Here we are. Verse 17 of chapter 17. Yeah, 17:17. Brother Hoyer used to say that the number 17 is the fullness of God's promise, wasn't it? Prophecy and promise fulfillment. Yes, amen. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. You know, when there's no breath left in you, what happens? You're dead. You don't breathe anymore, you're dead. Amen? And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Listen, what does this woman know about this business of calling her sin to remembrance and taking the penalty out on my son? I thought she was a woman of the world. I thought she was just a woman that lived up there in Zarephath. You know what Zarephath is? That's where Jezebel is from. That's where her father, Ethanbaal, was the king. But his very name implies that he probably had some high position of Baal up there too. A woman in that community is talking about her sin to Elijah when she sees the death of her son. Something in her said, sin results in death. Somehow the word that God had spoken to Adam, if you sin, you will die. There must be something universal in man. Or maybe, perhaps Elijah had been preaching to the woman. Surely he wasn't just living there and not talking. He must have been preaching to her about sin and repentance and this type of thing, while God is saving her life with the meal that she needs. All right. He said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. Amen. He's pleading for that child's life. Three times. What is there about three times? Three times is fullness, isn't it? Ask the Lord three times. If he's not going to answer, he's not going to answer. What did Paul say about the thorn in his flesh? He said, three times I inquired of the Lord, and finally the Lord gave him an answer, didn't he? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Three times Elijah laid his life out on this child. Lord, I'm giving my life for this child. Bring the life back into him. Three times he asked the Lord. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Underline these little parts here. Because this is what the Elijah ministry is going to be. It's the Lord is going to hear the voice of Elijah. If you're in that Elijah company, God is going to hear your voice. Amen? And I believe that hearing the voice is going to include the raising of the dead. You know, we haven't raised too many dead yet, have we? No, not yet. I like the way you said that. Not yet. But there's an expectation. When it's needed, it's going to happen. And you know what? That's going to give a witness to the unbeliever. Amen. Now listen to this. And he revived. Oh, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber, which is up in the attic where Elijah was living. Amen. Into the house and delivered him unto the mother, and Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now, what was her response? This is very interesting, her response. And the woman said to Elijah, now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. The woman never saw any other miracle? Yes, she did. It says it came to pass after these things. This didn't happen that afternoon when he showed up and asked for her for a cake of bread or a loaf of bread, whatever you call it. This was later. In the course of time, the child died. Now the woman has been living on divine provision up until this time. The woman has, she's got to have figured out something by now. Listen, I've been scraping the bottom of that barrel for all these months, and there's still always enough meal to make us all the bread that we need. I've been pouring from that cruise for a long time, and it still keeps pouring. Hasn't she figured it out by now? This is God. But now, you see, there's something about this child. There's something about this son. You see, when she told Elijah that she was reluctant to give him bread in the first place, it was the concern, my son and I are eating our last meal and we will die. The son keeps living, she keeps living. Now, God touched the son. Has God ever touched the thing that is most precious to you? Gets your attention, doesn't it? Gets your attention in a hurry. But you see, God restored the life of that child. I don't know what was going on in that woman's heart while Elijah was up in the loft with that child. She didn't go up there with him. He carried the child up the ladder, up into the loft. She must have heard him praying, but what was going on in her soul in all this time? Do you suppose she was making some statements to God about, if you will save my son, Lord, then I will believe, then I will proclaim, then I will tell, then I will thus and thus. I say, yes, she's a mother. She had to be crying out to God in her own heart. I will believe this man, whatever he says. I will believe that the word of the Lord is in his mouth if my son comes back. Amen. Well, that's interesting. I was almost ready to just pass over this part about the son. Oh my goodness, there's so much here on Elijah. I'm having trouble getting through today. Anyway.
He chose the signs and wonders, don't do it though.
The signs and wonders alone aren't going to do it. And you know, the funny thing is, and I may have mentioned this, when we were talking about John the Baptist, do you know there's no record of any signs and wonders with John the Baptist? Not a one. Not a one. But last week, we were reading from, I was going to say Matthew chapter 24, but it was the equivalent chapter in Luke. I think it was Luke 17 or 16. Anyway, where Jesus was saying, talking about the false prophets that will make signs and wonders, he says, go not after them, nor follow them. So you see, you can't depend on signs and wonders. Sister.
The woman thought the food was going to sustain her son because he would have died a long time ago. But I think the reason the son was afflicted because God was showing her that he himself is the source of life. And he gave life to the son because he would have died a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was God who was showing
it. It was God.
The food that was
not that
this,
barrel.
Yeah, not the barrel that was bringing this boy life, but God himself was giving the boy life.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we come out from the widow's house. It says, and it came to pass, chapter 18, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. How many times do you find this? the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Every step of Elijah's life, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. You know, say to Ahab, thus saith the Lord, go hide by the brook. The word of the Lord says, the brook is over. I've commanded a widow. The word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, you know, give me the meal and you'll be sustained. Amen. But feed me first. Amen. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go and show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. Well, let me just summarize what was going on. Ahab had a governor of his affairs named Obadiah, governor of his house. And Abraham said to Obadiah, listen, the horses and the mules and the donkeys are dying. Go throughout all the land, find every watering hole, every oasis, every fountain, every well. See if there isn't some grass growing somewhere that we maybe can save these animals alive without having to kill them or without having them die. And so Ahab goes one way and Obadiah goes another way. And Elijah shows up in front of Obadiah. Now, he says to Obadiah, I'm ready to meet with Ahab. I've got a word for Ahab. And Obadiah says to him, you know, he said, let me read this. And he answered him, I am, go and tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. That's verse 8, verse 9. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Obadiah is afraid to tell Elijah or to tell Ahab that Elijah is here and wants to see him. Why is he afraid? Read the next verse. And he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Again, this is very interesting. He looked everywhere. But in the hometown of Jezebel is where Elijah's living. Are you seeing the picture of how God can hide us? It doesn't matter how many electronic finding devices and search devices and tom-toms and whatever else they can attach to you or your house or your car or whatever, God can hide you. Ahab looked everywhere for him. And there he was, right there under Jezebel's father's nose. In another country. My goodness. And he says, and now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry thee whither I know not. Oh, hallelujah. And so when I come and tell Ahab, but he cannot find thee, he will slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. This Obadiah believed in the Lord's ability to catch the man away. And isn't that interesting that that's exactly the way the Lord took Elijah home? He caught him away. But Obadiah was a man of God. Isn't this again interesting? A godly man who loves the Lord, who risks his life. He says, wasn't it known to Ahab already that when Jezebel went to slay the prophets of God, that I took 100 of them and hid them in 2 bunches by 50 in caves, and I fed them? He says, hasn't this... Surely they know about this. And why did God protect him from doing that? Jezebel wanted to kill the prophets of God, and she began to massacre them. Talk about a bloody woman. Talk about an evil spirit. And Obadiah protected them and fed them. You know, there's not a big book written about this fellow, Obadiah. I think that's another prophet, Obadiah, that wrote the little book. That's a different fellow. And this godly man is working, the chief steward, if you please, of one of the evilest kings of Israel. Come on, don't tell me that you can't work for an unclean raven and God bless you. Look at Joseph. He worked for Egypt. Look at Daniel. I mean, these guys were the chief president, chief steward, chief governor, chief this, chief that. And they worked for unrighteous men, and God blessed them. And somehow, God kept them clean. He kept their hands from being soiled by the dirt and the rottenness and the political corruption of their boss. I was working for some fellows one time that the place was going bankrupt. And I remember one of the administrators saying about one of the chief board members, and he was saying, "How can all this have happened and that man's hands remain clean?" In other words, they probably didn't, because he wasn't a godly man. So, Elijah said, "Tell him, I won't run off." Now again, listen to Ahab's meeting of Elijah. It says, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" We're finding keys here of the nature of this Elijah ministry. What does the ruling political powers think of Elijah? Troublemaker. Do you see? They're going to call you troublemakers. You are the one that has been causing all the distress upon our nation. You are the cause of all this famine. You are the cause of all this destruction. You are the cause of thus and thus. You are the cause of the unrest of the people. You're the troublemaker. But you see, Elijah didn't take it, did he? Amen. "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." Now, let's talk a little bit about what was really going on in Israel at this time. And again, I'm going to say that this is the thing that the Elijah ministry is going to be involved in pulling down. In our terms, we can call it Babylon. The Elijah ministry is going to be pulling down Babylon on earth as Michael and the host of heaven are pulling down Babylon in the heavenly realm. We're going to be working with them together, bringing about the complete destruction of Babylon. Now, Baal was their evil worship in their day. Do you know that Baal worship was already going on in the time when Israel came out of Egypt? And what was the false prophet? Balaam. And they were gathering for the worship, the Moabites gathering for the worship of, what was it, Baal Peor, wasn't it? So they were worshiping Baal back then. Now, the groves speak of Ashtoreth, okay, which was the female side of this Baal and Ashtoreth combination. Jezebel was the high priestess, I believe, of the Ashtoreth, the groves, all right? And I don't know what position Ahab had, but he certainly was tolerating and encouraging and what's the term they use? Allowing it to happen? Enabling. He was enabling the Baal worship. He was enabling Jezebel to do what she did. He was allowing her to kill the prophets of God. He was allowing her to feed her 400 prophets, and he was also supporting the 450 prophets of Baal. And by the way, Baal, the whole business of Baal and Ashtoreth, Esther, Esther, whatever term you want to use, Easter, yes, it's a celebration of Easter today. This whole business is a very, very much of a sexual
fertility cult.
It is a fertility cult. It is very sexually oriented, very, very lustful oriented. The children of Israel came to believe that they had to give worship, they had to give sacrifices to this god and goddess. Okay? The Baal symbol in this grove was basically a big old phallus symbol. Sometimes it was just a denuded tree that had all the branches cut off. And, of course, there was the female side of this thing. Now, the sacrifices that had to be given were children, babies. And they said, they would say, oh, we have to sacrifice babies, we have to give the blood of babies so that our crops will grow and we won't starve. And it also involved the cultic prostitution, that there were prostitutes that hung around these groves. And the men would give whatever to these prostitutes. And these prostitutes would have babies as well. And these babies would also be sacrificed. Hello, what's going on in America today? The sexual revolution, the killing of babies. It's not just killing in the first trimester when, oh, they're just a cluster of cells. No, they're not just a cluster of cells. If you could see what the cells look like after 3 months, they begin to look like a baby already. The cluster of cells business doesn't last more than about a week or two. And they begin to form and they begin to take on a shape and they begin to have a beating heart. Well, I don't need to convince you. I'm just saying, the killing of babies is going on again. We are worshiping Baal again, and Ashtoreth. And I tell you what, when anybody tries to touch this god and goddess, you'll hear a scream from the political sectors of America. Women will scream, our bodies, our rights, we have the right to thus and thus and thus. Who are you to tell us we can't do thus and thus? It's the scream of Baal coming back. And so Elijah says to Ahab, get all these prophets together. Now, you might have missed noticing, Jezebel didn't let her prophets come to this gathering. The 400 that eat at Jezebel's table didn't show up. But the 450 that Ahab had some control over, they all showed up. So we still have Jezebel to deal with. Now, here's the next thing, verse 21. Here's another trait of the Elijah ministry. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The Elijah ministry is calling the people to make a decision. Brethren, you've got to decide. Do you want to be among the sons of God, or do you want to be a foolish virgin? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in the outer court, or do you want to be called into the Holy of Holies, where the full authority of God is going to be given to His people? And the word today that God is saying is, we must make this decision. What did Jesus say? Settle it in your minds. Didn't he say that in chapter 24 of Matthew? Settle it in your minds that you're going to overcome. Settle it in your minds what decision you're going to make when these issues come. Settle it in your mind when the time comes, when they bring out the mark of the beast and you recognize what it is. You don't buy and you don't sell unless you have this mark on you. Settle it in your mind what your response is going to be. No, the Lord will feed me. No, the Lord will hide me. No, the Lord will take care of me. I will not submit to your mark. I will not submit to that wickedness. I will not buy the new world order. Amen. My goodness, I was hearing who was it? Somebody died recently or something, and they were eulogizing, I think it was a woman, maybe it was this Eunice Kennedy Shriver, and they were saying, oh, she gave her life for democracy. Oh, no, they said it about her, but there was somebody, some woman over in Burma or something, you know, she's in house arrest, and some guy swam across a lake to get to her, and they arrested him. She isn't dead, but they're eulogizing her and saying, oh, she's giving her life for democracy. And I listened to it, and I, you know, 10 years ago, if I heard that, I would have thought, oh, yeah, kind of noble, I suppose. What a noble thing to do, you know. But, you know, today I'm saying, no. Democracy is not the kingdom of God. It's not worth giving your life for. And that's the drumbeat that they're making today. Oh, democracy, we need democracy. If only we have democracy in all the world, then there'll be peace. You know what? Democracy's showing its head in America today, and it isn't very peaceful. And the politicians are very distressed because they're finally finding out what the people really want, what they feel like. Democracy is not the kingdom of God, brethren. Amen. Don't give your life for it. Hallelujah. How long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, the people were just sitting there, well, I don't know. You know, some people want to follow Baal. You know, well, you know, maybe the Muslims will find a way, you know. There might be many paths to get... No, there's not many paths. There's only one. Jesus Christ and Him only. There is only one name given under heaven whereby we may be saved. Why are you halting between two opinions? There's only one way. Amen. And that's basically what Elijah was saying, and that's what Elijah is saying. Today, there is an Elijah ministry already in place. I don't think he has all the authority yet, but I think the word of Elijah is coming forth already. Amen? And so, he says here, you know the story, verse 24, call ye on the name of your gods. Each one of us has a bullock. Each one of you build an altar. Each one of you put wood under your altar, under your bullock. You guys get started early. I'll wait till later. Call ye on the name of your gods. Call on the name of your God democracy. Call on the name of your God sexual revolution. Call on the name of whatever it is your God of sports. call on the name of your God, entertainment and vacations and what have you. Call on the name of your God. My goodness, this whole article in Time magazine is about Las Vegas. You know what? The economy hurt Las Vegas. Everything shut down out there. Yeah? Oh, but they're looking for a revival. Now when the casinos start whirling again, the economy's going to be good and everything's going to be wonderful again in Las Vegas. Call on the name of your Las Vegas God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that is the God of Las Vegas. That is the God of Nevada. That's their only source of income. Aside from that, it's nothing but a big old dry desert out there. Have you ever been there? Oh, yes, it's dry out there. Nothing grows. Amen. Well, anyway, call on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yahweh. Adonai. I will call on Jehovah God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think we need to define who our God is these days. Just say God, just say Lord. By the way, the word Baal actually means Lord. Did you know that? Yes, Baal means Lord. And that's not to say that it's always a bad name. You know, in some languages, like I think I mentioned, in the German language, the name Herr means Mister, but it also means the Lord. It means God. He is Herr. You know, God is Lord. But if they're addressing you, you would be called Herr Hyde or Herr Needle. Yeah, you know, interesting about languages. All right, so, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God, with a capital G. One God. You call on your gods. I will call on my single God. Capital G, God. And the God of all these gods that answers by fire, let him be the one and only God. Amen? And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. That's a good idea. Let's test this thing out and see who is the God of answers by fire. Amen? So, he gave the prophets of Baal the first opportunity. They chose their bullock. They called on the name of their gods. And it says in verse 26, it says, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar that was made. In other words, they got to dancing. Woo, 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 let's get it going. You know, let's get things moving. Let's get the spirit moving around here. Baal didn't move when they moved. Amen? And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Amen? Elijah's calling attention to the futility of their worship. Demon spirits is all they were worshiping. Amen. It might have been a very strong spirit, a ruling spirit. Nevertheless, the power of God was greater than that spirit. And I believe that God was there that day, and there was going to be no manifestation of any kind of Baal. So Elijah mocked him and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, you know, he's talking on his cell phone or something, we would say today. Oh, he must have a phone call. He's talking. You have to wake him up. Oh, he's sleeping. Or he's pursuing. Or he's in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Yeah, does your God sleep? Amen. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. They had this was their way of getting the attention of Baal. Well, if we bleed a little bit, you know, I'm sorry, but self-flagellation isn't going to get the attention of our God. There's people that believe that. Do you know that? I've seen pictures of people go to these shrines in, where is it? Spain or somewhere where they've got these shrines, Mataraji or whatever it is, and people crawl around on the cobblestones or whatever it is there, crawl around on their knees, and some of them put babies on their shoulders to make their knees bleed a little bit more, hoping to gain favor from God, from bleeding. Do you know that every Easter time, there are people in South America that have themselves crucified on a cross, nails driven through their hands. Did you know that? My goodness, Jesus did that for us, brethren. We don't need to do it. We can't save ourselves. And the blood did not get the attention of Baal. Hallelujah. So, Elijah said to the people, come near to me. And the people came near. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now once again, this is symbolic. The Elijah ministry is calling people back to a true worship of the true Lord. We're not going to have stone altars anymore, brethren. Amen. We're not going to be putting wood or bullocks on these altars. We are going to have a true altar of our heart where we are going to honor the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and with all of our strength. Amen. And with the stones, verse 32, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. It's going to contain a lot of water. They're going to bring barrels of water and pour it in. Precious water that they hadn't been seeing in a long time. Precious water just poured out over all this bullock, all this wood, all these stones until it flowed and filled the trench with water. Amen. Barrels of water. Do it a second time. Make sure that everything is well soaked so that you can't accuse me of doing a trick and putting gasoline on there or something, you know, so that I could make it flame. No, do it again with water. Do it a third time. What did I say 3 is? Fullness. Make sure 3 times this thing is soaked with water. Amen. It says, and the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said unto, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He's identifying who he's calling on. He didn't just say, oh, whatever God you are up there, you know, just somebody up there answer me. No, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today I would say, and the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. Amen. The giver of the Holy Spirit. You are the Lord I'm calling on. I am not calling on Islam. I'm not calling on any other God. Hallelujah. Buddha. No. We're calling on Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, that Thou hast turned their heart again. You know what? When the Elijah ministry finishes on this earth is going to know who God is.
That's one sentence.
Which one did I leave out, brother?
I have done all these things at Thy word.
Which one? Which verse is it?
36.
Sir, I'm sorry. 36, yes. And let it be known this day that Thou art the God of Israel, and I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Yes, there we go. Very important. Good. Thank you, brother, for bringing that in. Amen. And that Thou hast turned their heart back again. That they would know that You are God and that You have turned their heart back again. What is the Elijah ministry going to do? He's going to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Our heart is going to be turned back. Back from what?
Hardness.
Back from following our own will, our own desires, our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own rebellion, our own pursuits, our own gods. You know, we can say about the earth and the world, yes, this applies to the church. Not only does this apply to the church because I say that and you're thinking of somewhere outside. No, it applies to my temple. Me, inside of me, is going to get turned back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stone and the stones. Have any of you ever seen stones consumed?
Never.
No, I've seen fire that burns wood, and I suppose if it gets hot enough it can evaporate the water. I have not seen stones consumed. Vaporized.
Volcano.
No, that just melts them. It says it consumed them. These stones were vaporized, brother.
Represents a hard heart.
Yes, hardness of heart. And the dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench. Try to put yourself in a position of seeing what was going on here. You're standing around this altar. I don't know how close you are. Maybe you wanted to be in the front row where you could really see what was going on. The fire fell. I mean, this is an awesome sight. I don't think you're pushing to get a front row seat anymore. I think you're backing up. We're backing away from that fire. It's a terrifying thing. God is a consuming fire. It's not a spectator thing anymore. What is our response when we begin to see this and we back away from it a little bit? The next response is what? Down on our face. Amen. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there.
What's really wonderful is really something that they were right there and the fire didn't burn. It had to be hot to lick up the water or anything.
That had to look like a nuclear controlled pillar of something coming down, limited to that altar. And there they were standing nearby. Elijah had to be fairly close to this. He was standing right there calling on the name of the Lord, and he didn't get fried or consumed. It had to be a terrifying sight. Listen, I am talking about an Elijah ministry. I haven't... There's a lot more on Elijah. What am I going to do? Should we do it again sometime? I mean, there's more about this fire business that I'd like to get into. When this other king, when Elijah tells him that he's not going to recover because he went looking for Beelzebub. He said, no, it starts with an A. Adonia or... yeah. No, oh my goodness.
Ashtaroth?
No. It's one of the other kings. It's in the second chapter of Kings. Here it is. Ahaziah. A-H-A-Z-I-A-H. It's in the second chapter of Kings, the first chapter, or second book of Kings. And the 50 soldiers come to try to arrest him. I'm telling you, this is why I read the two witnesses. If any man tries to hurt them, fire. I mean, the third captain was smart enough to figure, I don't want to get fried. Will you come peacefully? I mean, how can this arrogant little king think that he can arrest a man of God that has that kind of power and think he can get away with it? Did this king not hear about the fire that came down on Mount Carmel? I mean, when two of his... we'll get into that. When two of his troops, not just single troops, but divisions or whatever they call them, when two of them have already been fried and he has the audacity to send a third, what is with these guys? Arrogant. And this is what Rita was talking about in Pharaoh. The hardness of heart, the arrogance of man to believe that they can withstand an almighty God. And it's going to happen in our day. Because the hardness of heart of man is so rigid that it's going to take things like this to turn this world back. And it will be turned back. And the kingdom of God will take over this earth. Blessed be the Lord. I want to be part of it, don't you?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think it's time to quit for today.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.